Blog Talk Radio.
And we are live on Fans for Racing, NASCAR and Race Talk. This is Monday night, June the 12th. And joining me tonight is our co-host, Sal Segala. Welcome to the show, Sal.
Oh, good evening, Sharon. Thank you.
Well, it's great to have you here. Really looking forward to tonight's show. We're going to talk in just a couple minutes about maybe a couple of our highlights from the weekend of racing. But at 8:40 in our winner's circle is Chris Eggleston from Bill McAnally Racing, winning his second consecutive race in the K&N Pro Series West. It's a big battle between Chris Eggleston and Todd Gilliland. Todd having 4 wins and Chris Eggleston now with 3 wins in that series. Those two drivers have been the only winners in that series this season.
Yes, they have been. And man, Bill is just really having his way with this series as far as dominance. You kind of wonder, is there going to be another, you know, can somebody step up, you know, and dethrone one of these two drivers?
Yeah, it's really amazing. And I can't wait to talk to Chris Eggleston. This is our second week of talking with him as well, because he's won last week and this week, and he's part of our winner's circle tonight at 8:40. Now, at 9 o'clock Eastern time, you're going to have to leave, right, Sal, for a little bit?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so Sal's leaving here at 9 o'clock. So we're going to play some post-race audio from Texas Motor Speedway and the Camping World Truck Series, and then, of course, the Xfinity and Cup Series in Pocono Raceway. We'll have the race winners' post-race audio for you to listen to during that 9 o'clock half hour. I'll add some of my commentary in between, but we will have that available during our 9 o'clock half hour. At 9:30, Riley Herbst got his first career victory in the ARCA Racing Series this weekend, and it was a big first for Joe Gibbs Racing as well, getting their first ARCA victory with Riley Herbst this weekend at Pocono. That's usually not an easy track for rookie drivers, Sal.
Yeah, you know, it isn't. And it's, I mean, when you look back, you know, for those, you know, that did watch the race, he drove like a veteran for the last, you know, 40, 45 laps. It was just a really great show that he put on. And, you know, a young driver, you know, like you said, you know, Joe Gibbs' first season in the ARCA series and already picking up a win.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible. And Riley Herbst also made a record during that race as well, finishing the race faster than any other race in the ARCA race series has been finished before. He was able to finish the race in 1 hour, 19 minutes, and 55 seconds, surpassing the old mark set by Scott Riggs back in 2004. That was a while ago, of 1 hour, 25 minutes, and 29 seconds. So that was a pretty significant broken record there as well.
Yes, it was a significant broken record. And you kind of wonder, you know, if that record can be broken. It was, you know, it kind of was a long-standing record. But once again, when you look at the track, it's not an easy track to race. And we've seen, you know, through the past, you know, with the Cup Series when they go there.
Absolutely. So it was pretty amazing on a lot of different fronts there. Now, we've talked a little bit about what happened in the K&N West. We talked a little bit about what happened in the ARCA Racing Series. Sal, what was your highlight from the top three series in NASCAR in the Camping World Truck Series, Xfinity, and Cup Series?
Sure, it has to be Ryan Blaney's win, without a doubt. I mean, social media blew up with that win. First, it was Austin Dillon a couple of weeks ago with the bringing the number three to victory lane. But by far, this win with Ryan Blaney and the Woods brothers, this is by far so far has been and probably will be the biggest win of the season.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. I've been saying for a while now that I think Ryan Blaney is pushing in that direction, that he's got a win coming, and he finally pulled it off this weekend. And it was a big deal for Ryan Blaney to get his first NASCAR Cup Series victory. But for me too, Sal, I thought it was great to see Erik Jones have a great finish this weekend as well. How about that?
Yes, it definitely was to see him have a good finish. He's been due for a good finish. He's been kind of biting at the, you know, at the top five, top tens, and you know this weekend mm-hmm. you know, he finally put it all together. And once again, out of one of the toughest tracks, I think that the series races on throughout the season.
Exactly, and that's what's so amazing. I always talk about Pocono Raceway being one of those veteran tracks that we can't expect the new drivers to get a victory there. And yet I was proven wrong twice this weekend with Riley Herbst and now Ryan Blaney. So I'm going to have to readjust my thinking there.
I think a lot of race fans are going to readjust their thinking on a lot of these tracks. You know, the ones that are, you know, that are portrayed, you know, as one of the harder tracks to drive on. So I think we're going to see a lot of fans and a lot of drivers, and I think for the rest of the season, the wins aren't going to be basically, you know, a gimme, you know, for each driver, you know, that gets out there, especially the veterans.
Oh, I know. Kevin Harvick was not giving it up for Ryan Blaney. He was racing him hard.
Kyle Busch wasn't giving it up for anybody. He raced him really hard. I mean, Kyle was, boy, you talk about making somebody earn that, you know, that spot. Kyle really took Blaney to the, you know, to a veterans level. And it was great to see it. You can't take nothing away from Kyle. Everybody's going for the win. He raced, in my eyes, he raced him clean. And that track is so wide, there was a lot of grooves. And Kyle just, you know, Kyle did what he, you know, as a veteran driver, what any driver is supposed to do, and protect that lead.
Yes, he did. And that's, you know, what a thrill for these drivers when they pass somebody like a Kyle Busch or a Kevin Harvick and get that victory. Ryan Blaney came in first. Kevin Harvick came in second. Erik Jones finished third. Kurt Busch finished fourth. Those are not slouch drivers that these guys were racing against. Brad Keselowski came home with a fifth-place finish there at Pocono Raceway this weekend on the 2.5-mile paved triangle, and it was pretty exciting to watch. Finishing in sixth was Martin Truex Jr., followed by Kyle Larson, Chase Elliott, Kyle Busch, and Matt Kenseth. So those were some pretty good drivers that these rookies were racing up against. And did a very, very good job. Really proud of those guys for what they did out there at Pocono Raceway. Now, let's talk about what happened out in Colorado National. Were you there, Sal? Did you go up there?
No, I wasn't.
Or out there?
I wasn't up there this weekend.
Okay. I thought what Chris Eagleston did was pretty fantastic, too. We kind of anticipated, because he did the same thing last year. He won at Orange Show Speedway and then turned around and got a win right away at his home track of Colorado National. And it was pretty exciting for Bill McAnally Racing because they came home 1-2-3 with Eagleston, Derek Krause, and Todd Gilliland.
That was a really good finish by the three of them. And And Derek is really, he's really coming around and getting used to these, you know, to these heavier Can-Am cars. For those fans that don't know, Derek does race a lot back east, you know, in a super late. So it's not like he doesn't know what he's doing out there on the track like some of the other drivers. He does have experience, and just the fact that he's with Bill McAnally and the veterans, you know, that are kind of, I mean, Chris is a veteran. Todd, we can almost talk as a veteran, but the team in general that Bill McAnally has out there, you know, with David Gilliland helping Todd and Chris Lawson as Todd's crew chief. And the neat thing is that they all, Ty Joyner, the neat thing is that they all help each other out. You know, it's not like it's a, sure, it's a one team effort, but during the race day, you know, if a team needs help, you know, they're always there, you know, to help them out.
That's really fantastic. And actually, I think it's a dream come true year so far. They're halfway through the season. But it's a dream come true season for Bill McAnally Racing. And Chris Eggleston is a big part of that dream come true season with back-to-back wins at Orange Show Speedway and now Colorado National, his home track. Congratulations, Chris Eggleston. Job well done. And I've been looking forward to talking to you again tonight about this victory.
Well, I appreciate it, guys, and as always, thanks for having me on the show.
Well, we always look forward to it, Chris. We love talking to you, and there's a lot going on out there at Bill McAnally Racing. There's a lot going on for Chris Eggleston. Only you and your teammate, Todd Gilliland, have won the so far this season, and you're halfway through the season, 7 races in of 14 races on the season. You have 3 wins. Todd Gilliland has 4 wins. How satisfying was that for you to come back and do this back-to-back victory at Colorado National and put yourself just 7 points now behind Todd Gilliland?
It was really exciting, really cool. Like you said, especially in front of like a hometown crowd. And I knew, you know, based off of the package that we had last year and the way we performed, I knew we could unload off of the trailer with a really good balanced race car. I would say the only downfall to maybe this year compared to last year is we had a test session for everybody to kind of play catch up on Friday the day before, which I think helped the 16 out and the rest of the field out for sure. I know they were working really hard on Todd's car on the 16, and they, you know, they probably didn't unload off the trailer the way they wanted to, but hats off to those guys because they found a lot of speed throughout practice and the such, and it presented itself to be a really good race between the 3 Napa cars. I really thought Todd, the way he kind of got through the field and got the lead there in the early stages, he was setting a really fast race pace, and all honesty, it was everything we kind of had to keep pace with him and not burn up our stuff as well. So it was just a very interesting characteristic race. Like a lot of times at Colorado, the race pace will slow down, I would say, a good half to three quarters of a second, and it may not have been that much for this year. And so it was really fast pace, and it seemed like the 3 of us kind of checked out there for a little bit, whether that was strategy on other people's parts or not. But in the later stages, I think Todd's car kind of went away, and we found some speed on the top groove to get by him and make a move and come home with our second win at Colorado in 2 years. I think 3 wins out of the 4 years and win number 3 in the 2017 season. So pumped and excited, pumped for all the fans that were there. It was almost a packed house. It was a great crowd on hand, and really excited for everybody at Bill McAnally Racing and everybody at Napa Filters for giving me this shot. We'll just keep chipping away at that 7-point lead that Todd's got. We're going into Sonoma, which hasn't been a very statistically sound track for me per se, but we're looking forward to changing that this year and rebounding and getting a good finish, hopefully.
Absolutely. Now, of course, we have Sal Segala, our co-host, here with us tonight as well, and I know he's got some questions for you, Chris.
Well, Chris, first of all, congratulations again. Chris, congratulations again on the win, and gosh, it must have been another exciting battle, you know, like you said, you know, between you and Todd and, you know, seeing as close as the points are coming up in 2 weeks, it's really going to be a great race out there in Sonoma.
Yeah, I would agree. You know, going into the first race of the season and kind of grabbing that win at Tucson was kind of a momentum builder for the whole 99 team. And then when Todd kind of went four in a row, one at Kern, two at Irwindale and Spokane, not that I lost hopes or anything like that, but it was kind of a reality check that, hey, you know, Todd Gillen and the 16 camp, they're really good, and they're here to show that they're a fast team in race car. And then for us to go out and kind of break the streak, go out at Orange Show Speedway and now Colorado and win back-to-back wins and kind of close that points gap up, it's like a kid at a candy store. You know, you get the taste of that victory, and you can smell that championship. So we're doing everything we can. And I know the guys at BMR over at Roseville, California, they've got their heads down really hard and working really hard to bring fast race cars just to keep up with Todd and the whole field. I mean, I think in qualifying, everybody was within a couple hundredths of each other, and which was really cool to see. And I was just so happy to have our number 99 Navin Filters car have the long run speed that we had, just thanks to Ty Joyner, our crew chief over there, not only the crew chief on my car, but also Derek's car. And it kind of showed as Derek kind of followed us through the field there a little bit there in the later stages. So really exciting with everything going on over at BMR and just happy to be a part of that program.
When looking up and down the roster every week, you know, that, you know, you got the JPR cars, you have the Brucati cars, you know, you got Steve Bertanga with Blake Perkins. This season, on paper, it looks like he would be a little bit more well contested. Now, they're not saying, you know, trying to take anything away from them, but Bill McAnally just really stepped his game up during the offseason and just really came out, you know, with guns a-blazing. Of course, you know, we still have more racing left. Anything can happen, and we've seen it in years past when it comes down to the championship. But for right now, it seems like Bill McAnally racing is just, you know, it's just really in the driver's seat.
Yeah, and I think there's a couple different factors that go into play there. Yeah, Bill's got a really great program and has proven it over the years past, and he's got a really good group of great guys over there that kind of laid the foundation to build off of such a successful season that this 2017 season has started with. And not only that, but, you know, Bill's got a lot of great race car drivers over there, not only myself, but Todd and Derek as well. And we just work really well as teammates together. We bounce a lot of stuff off of each other. We learn from each other. And then having three cars in one team, you know, I think it is a little bit of an advantage. You know, we can all try different stuff on our cars and kind of collaborate after practice sessions and certain things like that to kind of make things work. And like you said, not to take anything away from the other teams, because the other teams are all top-notch teams that you've mentioned, Portengay, Brincati, JPR. They've all got really good equipment, and they've got all really good, talented drivers at the same time. It just seems like the K&N Series is such a competitive series at this point. And like you said, I don't know what it is. You know, I know we've been to a lot of racetracks that BMR has had a lot of success with in the past, probably. So, you know, that may play a little bit. Maybe our notebook is a little deeper, and maybe just the success we've had, it made it a little easier to unload off of the trailer and use prior year's notes. But I know we're going to a lot of racetracks that maybe BMR doesn't have the most success at, and that could all change. And so we're kind of riding the high wave right now, really living in the moment just as a team and all togetherness. But at the same time, we know at the flip of a switch that could all change. And so we know we need to just continue to work just as hard.
Coming up in 2 weeks is probably what is known, you know, in the K&N West Series as the wild card race. We've seen what happened last year. A lot of cars didn't even make it to the start finish line when you had the so-called big one, you know, which damaged a lot of cars. A lot of them came back to race, you know, for the points. There was a few that went out. Coming into this, you know, off of the two win streak, what's your outlook for Sonoma coming up in 2 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, you hit the nail right on the head. It's definitely, Sonoma's definitely one of the wild cards in the K&N West Series, just because there's a lot of uncontrollable factors that could come into play. Well, as you mentioned, last year we were coming down the front chute to take the green. We got walls on both sides, and the track is just wide enough for maybe two cars, too wide, plus a little bit, plus or minus. And when one car didn't go at the start, it created melee throughout the whole field and wrecked a lot of really good race cars. And unfortunately, Todd and I were both in it, and it was a huge hit in the points. And like you said, that could happen at any point this in 2 weeks, you know, something like that. Or you could be racing really hard with another car. It's really easy to get off track into the dirt, not only get a flat tire, but just take yourself out of contention. So obviously, statistics speakingly, I've never been that great at Sonoma. I felt like we've had speed every time we've been there, whether it's through practice or whatnot. But I know I can get the job done. I know my team can get the job done. I'm really looking forward to going back there in 2 weeks, just taking what I've learned and trying to apply it from what I've learned over the last 2 years. And just going in there open-minded, at the same time knowing that we need to get out of there with a good point tonight. We've done our job. We've won some races. We've kept on the heels of the 16 camp, and we just need to make sure we continue to do that and just continue to thrive on the places we're good at, and then just make sure we have a consistent finishes at the other places that maybe we're not the best at. So I see that as Sonoma as well as Iowa. Todd has shown that he was really, really fast and good at Iowa last year. And I know the 99 has the speed to compete with him over there as well, but in years past, maybe our finishes haven't shown it just due to a few flat tires or mechanical issues. So I feel like that's another one, the East-West combo. You know, a little mistake can go a long ways there and create havoc in your night. So I think those two are right in a row. We need to get through those two with good finishes. And man, it's been on my bucket list for a really long time to go to Iowa and win a race. I came so close there back in 2009 in the ASA days when the ASA series went there. I led a lot of laps and let the wind slip away. So definitely have my eye on Iowa. We're trying to get a new car ready to go for that race. I'm not sure if it'll be done and ready or not, but nevertheless, I'm really excited. And I'm excited to go to Sonoma as well.
Well, Chris, with that, you know, I just want to say good luck. We'll see you up at Sonoma. And once again, congratulations on the win. And with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Sharon.
All right, Sal. I appreciate it, man. And as always, we missed you out Colorado shooting the picture. So can't wait to see you in Sonoma, bud.
Thanks.
Okay. Chris, I know that fans will be able to watch the Napa Toyota 150 on NBCSN this Thursday, June the 15th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. That I believe is 4 p.m. Out there on the West Coast. Now, it seems to me as I was looking at the race highlights from this weekend that the restarts were a really big deal during this race. You led 64 laps. Todd Gilliland led 85 laps, but you took over the lead around lap 100, and you had to hold off your teammates to get to the end of that race and get that win. Talk a little bit about that and what fans can watch for when they watch this race on Thursday night.
I would agree, yeah. This race didn't follow a general characteristical pattern as years prior. There's a lot of caution flags, a lot of short runs, and that's what I told a lot of fans after the race. Our number 99 Napa filter Toyota didn't really have the short run speed that maybe some of the other cars had, but our long run speed was really good, which made it hard for us having all those restarts. And when we were able to get by Todd on the outside, it was more of like a mid to long run. And once we got by him, we had to protect that lead through a lot of restarts, not only from Todd and Derek as well. And it just seemed like when Todd got by us the first time, they had just put down a bunch of kitty litter on the bottom groove, and we washed up a little bit, which allowed him to get by us. And it just seemed like the last few restarts, whatever, you know, everybody's tires are worn out, everybody's slipping and sliding, and everybody had to get up on the steering wheel those last 50 laps for sure. And it was a lot of fun to get behind the wheel of our car and contend with those guys. And I'm just so proud of everybody over at BMR for giving us the car we did and bringing BMR home 1-2-3.
Okay. I think it's an exciting race for fans to watch this Thursday on NBCSN. And then, of course, we've been talking, too, about Sonoma Raceway on June 24th. I want to make sure I give you a chance for any other shout-outs that you want to make before we let you go, Chris.
Yeah, as always, you know, everybody can follow us either on our website, chriseggletonracing.com, our Facebook fan page, Facebook at Chris Eggleston, basically. Twitter and Instagram at @ChrisEggleston_. We're always putting up some fun stuff on there. Most of them are awesome pictures by Sal, co-host on the show. So definitely fans, follow along. And as I mentioned, you know, follow along on NBCSN this Thursday. Should be a great race to watch, and I can't wait to watch it myself.
Okay. That's fantastic. And I've got a feeling, Chris, that we might be visiting with you again before all is said and done at the end of the season.
Yeah, I really hope so, guys. You know, 3 wins is awesome. It's the most wins I've had in a Canadian season, and we're just halfway through. So really looking forward to seeing what the second half of the season brings, and hopefully we can put that 99 car in the winner's circle a few more times before the season's over.
Okay. Well, again, congratulations to you and your Bill McAnally team. We're really proud of all you guys, and we can't wait to watch you race again out there at Sonoma Raceway for the Caneros 200 on June the 24th. So thanks for being on the show, Chris. We really appreciate it. And good luck to you out at Sonoma.
All right, guys, take care. Enjoy the rest of your show. We'll talk to you soon. See ya.
Okay, thanks. All right, Sal, that was Chris Eggleston, a back-to-back winner in the K&N Pro Series West, and I think he gave us some really good info for this upcoming race on NBCSN that fans will be able to watch for.
Yes, I think it's going to be a really good race to watch. I know I'm going to record it and see it probably when I get home in the morning, so I am looking forward to it.
Absolutely. And we're coming up on about the time that you're going to have to leave, Sal. Are there any other highlights that you want to mention before you go, or any other commentary that you want to make?
Not really, Sharon. I'll do the commentary when I get back, because I'm already pushing meeting with my contractor. So if I get started now, I'll never make it in.
That's not a problem.
Then I won't hear the end of it from my boss.
Okay, well, we'll let you go then, and then we'll go right into our next half hour here. Take care,
okay,
Sal.
We'll talk to you
at 9:30 Eastern.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, good night. All right, Sal Segala is leaving us right now, but he will be back in about 30 minutes. And in the meantime, what I plan to do here is I do have post-race audio from the Camping World Truck Series race. Christopher Bell won that race, pretty exciting finish for him. Then we have from Pocono, both the Xfinity Series team of Brad Keselowski, the race winner there, and the NASCAR Cup Series team of Ryan Blaney winning that race on Sunday, and it was very exciting to see that finish for him. What I'll do is I'll try to play a few minutes, maybe 3 to 5 minutes of each post-race audio, and then I will have some commentary in between, and we'll go on to the next post-race audio. So let's go ahead and start here with Texas Motor Speedway and the race winner, Christopher Bell, in the Camping World Truck Series.
Our WinStarOnlineGaming.com 400 race winner Christopher Bell joins us with his crew chief Ryan Fugel. Christopher drives the number 4 JBL Toyota, his second win of the season. First win at TMS, comes in his fourth start here at TMS. Previous best was 8th in the fall of 2015. Norman, Oklahoma native, calls this his home track. Christopher, we'll start with you. Just tell us about, you told a story to me a little while back, just about when you dirt track race down here, you come to Texas, you pass this big, massive speedway, and you always dreamed about racing here, and now you win here.
Yeah, this place has got a special place in my heart. Home's only a couple hours up the road. And like you mentioned, we race down here a lot with the micro sprints down at Kennedale and Devil's Bowl occasionally. So ran a lot of races down in this area, but obviously never ran at the Texas Motor Speedway, and didn't really feel like it was a possibility to race at the Texas Motor Speedway because I was just a dirt track kid from Oklahoma. There's no pavement racing around there. And so to be able to race here was a dream come true. To be able to win here is just, I don't even have words to describe what it means to me.
Ryan, 2 wins here. Last year you won with William Byron, this year with Christopher. What is it about this track that you know, especially since we changed it this year? We repaved, we reduced the bank in turns one and two, and it didn't cause much of a problem for you.
Yeah, no, it just speaks volumes to how good KBM is, you know, period, you know, on all tracks, but especially in mile and a halfs. I think we've won all the mile and a halfs this year, you know, between Kyle and Christopher. So it's really good for the company, strong team. You know, we won with Eric Jones the year before as well. So we've won a lot of races here at Texas. It's fun. It's fun getting cowboy hats. Now just come back in the fall and get a fall or winter hat, whatever you guys call it, in the black one.
Now for you, we're starting deep in the field. Christopher, was any key changes on the truck late in the race or midway through the race?
No, we kept track position. So we took two and two there in the last two stops. And we might not have to do that because a lot of guys took four, but you never know what's going to happen, so we just wanted to stay out front. Christopher did a great job getting to the front early enough in the first segment, so we knew what we had in clean air up front. We only got the second, but still we knew what we had. So that was the key, is getting up front fast enough and knowing what we had and how to adjust on it.
Christopher, take us through those last couple of laps, especially that last one. On timing and scoring, it had the two you at the start-finish line on the white flag lap, 2/1,000ths of a second apart. It was great racing, side drafting. Just take us through that and what your strategy was and what was going through your mind on getting the win.
Well, so as the race went on, it seemed like the top just kept getting better and better and better on the restarts. With the fresh pavement, there's not much grip until there gets rubber laid down, and then once the rubber gets laid down, there's a lot of grip. So the bottom was pretty gripped up from practice, and then the top wasn't really great, but every restart, it continued to get faster and faster, and he was able to stay with me and do a great job on the restarts. So from all the other mile and a half that we go to, the top is 90% of the time the place to restart. So if the top lane would get enough grip, that's the place that we needed to be, and it kind of showed there at the end that was it was getting time to move up on the restart lane. But Chase did a great job. He had luck on his side, man, because I felt like we were going to drive by him there in one and two if the yellow doesn't come out, but it did whenever he got the side draft and was stuck right up in front of me. So I just tried to do the same thing to him that he did to me, and it worked out.
Caution comes out. Did you think you won? It was that close.
No, I didn't think it was over. I never saw the white flag or anything. So I was just concentrating on making sure that I slowed him down as much as I can, and then to not make any mistakes. It's pretty tight. Whenever you get side-by-side like that, the inside truck has a tendency to get loose. So I was just trying to pay attention to him, what his truck was doing, how the air was working, where I needed to pull him back and where I needed to get away from him. So I didn't even know the white flag was out. And whenever the red happened, I expected to restart again.
We'll open for questions.
Okay, that was Christopher Bell, the race winner at Texas Motor Speedway in the Camping World Truck Series, along with his crew chief Ryan Rudy Fugel. So that was an interesting conversation there, because it was a very tightly contested race with one of the rookies, Chase Briscoe, coming up from the ARCA Racing Series. He was the champion in the ARCA Racing Series last year, and he was a very hard-charging contender with Christopher Bell for that race win. I thought they gave a pretty good description there of those closing laps and contending with Chase Briscoe, and pretty complimentary of the fact that they were racing against each other in that event. Again, if you haven't seen it yet, go check out the highlights from the Camping World Truck Series there at Texas Motor Speedway. Up next, we have from Pocono Raceway, Brad Keselowski ended the drought for the number 22 team in the Xfinity Series. For those of us who have been following that series for a while, there was a time that number 22 team was consistently racing that 22 team was consistently racing in the series and winning, and it didn't matter who was in the car. but it's been a little while since they've won. And it was pretty good to see the number 22 back in victory lane in that Camping World Truck Series. So we'll listen now to the post-race audio from Brad Keselowski and his crew chief, Greg Irwin, in that series. So definitely looking forward to listening to this. So let's take a listen right now.
We're going to go ahead and roll into today's winner's press conference for the second annual Pocono Green 250 in the NASCAR Xfinity Series. And we're joined by our winning race team, led by driver Brad Keselowski of the number 22 SKF Ford for Team Penske, and crew chief Greg Irwin. Brad, winning all three stages today and an exciting finish with three really fast race cars. Please walk us through the finish from your perspective.
Yeah, what a day. You don't have any water or anything in here, do you? Hey, thank
Lee,
you.
Lee, coming at you.
Good
Great
work.
Catch.
Thank
That's
you.
Impressive.
That is teamwork.
Not only did you win your 35th NASCAR Xfinity Series race, you made one heck of a catch there.
Wow, one heck of a throw. Thank you, Lee. So take you through it. Okay. What is there to say? First off, we had a great car, which, of course, is always helpful. And there was, you know, good strategy and all that stuff. But and that kind of carried us through the first two stages. And then, of course, you saw the mix-up in the field in stage three, which I can't say was a surprise. We kind of knew that if we won stage two that we'd probably be in maybe not the best position for the start of the stage. So, you know, but you don't want to give those points up, and you don't want to give away running up front. In my heart, that's what the sport's about. It's about running up front and doing the best you can at all times. And in a lot of ways, that's what the stages do. They reward those who run up front and push hard all race. But then on the other side of it, there are guys that are obviously looking for the opportunity that stages provide to kind of play the leapfrog game, especially at tracks like Pocono, where you can pit under green and not lose a lap so close to the edge of a stage. And I think you saw a lot of teams take advantage of that. I thought that was a pretty smart move on their parts. And so as the race was kind of unfolding in that third stage, we just kind of were clawing through those guys that had that situation. And I got all the way up to the best car on that strategy, the double zero and the yellow came out. I thought, well, I'll be in good position here. But unfortunately, on the restart, I got a good push, but the push didn't stop when I got to the corner. And next thing I know, I found myself in the, you know, third lane in turn one, which is not a good place to be by any stretch. And that, of course, sent us to the back. And I thought, man, there's no way I'm going to be able to pass all these cars in 15 or so laps. And it kind of surprised me that we started clicking them off. A couple guys made a few mistakes. A couple guys I just caught at the right place, at the right, you know, perfect timing. And so it takes some of those breaks, obviously, and we caught them. And then I got to, I think it was the 7 and the 42, the two last cars with, you know, probably a half a dozen laps roughly to go. And I just was clawing, trying to get by them. And I got a little break on the 7 car who got loose in one, and that got me to the 42. And we had to, we were a little bit faster than Kyle Larson was, but he was just doing a really good job of holding a line that was taking all the air off my car. And, you know, these cars in clean air are a good half a second faster than they are in dirty air. So despite the speed we had in the car, Kyle did a great job of nullifying it with his driving technique and line. And I was just trying to push him as hard as I could and get him a little bit, you know, loose. And it worked off of one on the last lap. And from there, it was just a drag race down the long pond where we just inched in front of him at the right time. I felt very lucky to be able to do that. So, man, heck of a battle, heck of a finish. I don't know if it gets any better than that, but I was proud to be a part of it and really happy for this team to get back to victory lane.
Greg, you know, you mentioned
Okay, that was Brad Keselowski, the race winner in the NASCAR Xfinity Series at Pocono Raceway. And he gave a really great description of racing with his competitors there and what he had to do to come home with that victory. Just so we know, Brad Keselowski finished first. Justin Allgaier was the second place finisher, followed by Kyle Larson, and he did talk a little bit about racing with Kyle there, and the importance of dirty air versus clean air, and how important it is there at Pocono. Elliot Sadler finished fourth. Daniel Suarez came in fifth, followed by the next five racers, Brendan Gaughan, Cole Custer, Ty Dillon, Daniel Hamrick, and Matt Tift, rounding out that top 10. Now, in this series, William Byron is the Sunoco Rookie of the Year leader right now. Daniel Hemric is in second, and the points difference is about 8 points between them. So again, we'll definitely keep an eye on that. And another driver who I think is coming on strong and is not to be denied this season in the Xfinity Series, Cole Custer. I think we're going to see more things from him as the season progresses. He's just 3 points behind Daniel Hemric. And I think we just might see some changes in that Sunoco Rookie of the Year. In fact, if you look at the race results in this Xfinity Series, Cole Custer finished 7th, Daniel Hemric finished 9th, and William Byron finished 12th. So Cole Custer is closing that gap, and he's been getting some really good finishes. And I'm telling you, this is one to watch as this season continues to progress. Again, keep your eye on the number 00 of Cole Custer here in the Xfinity Series. Now, I neglected to give you that information with regard to the Camping World Truck Series, so I'm going to go back and do that for you right now because we want to know more than just the race winner of these races, of these events. We know Christopher Bell won the race. We know his biggest challenger was Chase Briscoe, coming up as the champion from the ARCA Racing Series last year. Another champion from the ARCA Racing Series, Grant Enfinger, finished third in that race, followed by Ryan Truex and Ben Rhodes. That's a really impressive top five because, again, Texas Motor Speedway is a fun race, and these guys really dominated there. They didn't have a lot of comfort. What's really cool about this race as well is you didn't see a lot of the Cup guys or the Xfinity Series guys racing this race. It was the Camping World Truck Series guys, and they really had an impressive run. Rounding out the top 10 from 6th through 10th are Justin Haley, Noah Gragson, Johnny Sauter, Matt Crafton, and Kaz Grala. Of all of those racers, Johnny Sauter and Matt Crafton are the veterans. There's a lot of rookies in that top 10. And as I count, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 rookies in the top 10 from Texas Motor Speedway. Again, I thought that was great. Taking the Sunoco Rookie of the Year points lead is Grant Enfinger, with his third place finish. But not far behind him are two other drivers. Two other drivers that are not far behind. Chase Briscoe with 84 points and Kaz Grala with 83 points. So between first and third in this series, there is a matter of just 5 points. This is going to be another Sunoco Rookie of the Year battle. And we haven't seen that with the rookies in a long time. It's really fun keeping your eye on that this season, and I'd really encourage everybody to keep their eye on that. Another driver that could sneak in there if he starts finding his groove and getting the results, I think we're going to see Noah Gragson climb up that ladder. He's at 72 points. That is 11 points away from Kaz Grala. But you never know what can happen as the season progresses. So definitely keep your eye on that Rookie of the Year standings here in the Camping World Truck Series. I thought that was a great race to watch on Friday night. Now we'll listen to the post-race audio. And this was a very popular win with Ryan Blaney bringing home the checkered flag. I loved his Polish victory lap. He didn't do the burnout. He did the Polish victory lap. I think that's a big, big tribute to the fans when the drivers do that. And a way for them to thank the fans for following them. I'm real proud of Ryan Blaney for doing that. His crew chief is Jeremy Bullens, and depending on how much we listen to here, we might even hear from the Wood brothers, the team owners here in that series, Lenny and I can't think of the other guy's name right now, but you'll hear it on the audio here. If we get that far, let's go ahead and listen to Ryan Blaney and his post-race comments right now.
If I could have your attention here in the media center, we'll now begin our winner's press conference here for the Exalta Presents the Pocono 400 here at Pocono Raceway in the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. We're joined by the race-winning team, driver Ryan Blaney of the number 21 Motorcraft Quick Lane Ford for the Wood Brothers Racing, crew chief Jeremy Bullens, and car owners Lynn and Eddie Wood. Just a few notes here. This is win number 99 for the iconic Wood Brothers Racing team, the first since 2011. Wood Brothers have now won at least one Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series race in each of the last 6 decades. And the win clinches a spot in the 2017 NASCAR playoffs for Ryan Blaney. And Ryan, youth, overpowered experience today. Please walk us through the pass of Kyle Busch and holding off Kevin Harvick for the win.
Yeah, so we did a great job. I say we, Jeremy Bullens and everybody, did a great job of positioning ourselves to restart towards the front on tires when the 18 stayed out. He looked to be the best car all day, and it's almost a curse when you're that good. Everyone just kind of does the opposite of what you do in that situation. And, you know, we've been on the bad side of that before, but once we got to second, I knew he was going to fall off pretty hard, and it was just a matter of getting by him before everyone else. All the other really fast cars on, you know, our strategy got to second as well, or got to us. And it was a pretty good race to get by Kyle there at the end of the race, and then having to hold Kevin off was really tough. He was fast all day, and you know, you just got to not mess up and hit your marks and take air away, and, you know, props to him. He drove me really clean, and I have the utmost respect for him doing that. And I've seen him win countless races passing cars within the last 10 laps, and he does a great job at that. But, you know, thank you to him again for racing me clean. But it was exciting in the car for sure. Hopefully it was exciting for the fans. And like I said, we just put ourselves in a spot to capitalize on it like we did today.
Now, Jeremy, this 21 team has had speed the whole season, consistent speed. You guys have been so close. What has been the key to really getting this 21 car up front and in position to win week in and week out?
Just experience. I mean, we started this thing part-time in 2015, built the team, you know, put people together, you know, made changes here, there, throughout, and, you know, have a group of people now that I feel like can compete as a team with anybody. We've had good cars all year. We've had good speed all year. And the last few weeks we've been really fast and just had some unfortunate things happen, but felt like we were in a position a couple times to take advantage of that. And, you know, today we put it all together and overcame some stuff, and it all worked out.
Lynn and Eddie, this question is for the both of you. You've had so many legendary drivers in the seat of that 21 car. What makes this guy sitting to your left so special?
He's special, all right. I mean, like Jeremy said, we put the thing, deal together in 2015, and right away you knew Ryan was going to be special because he just had speed. You know, everywhere we went, he had speed, and that's something that it doesn't come easily. And you know, we were on a brand new team; everybody was new, young. And it just every week, you know, we had fast cars, and you know, a lot of it is due to the driver, and you know, with, you know, the alliance with Team Penske, that is second to none. That just really makes a big difference. And you know, Jeremy came over to be our crew chief, and it just all worked out. You know, Blaney he's on his way now. It's you know, he outrun two guys today that are champions, and. And they're at the top of their game, and to outrun them, to win a race here, this is one of the toughest tracks that we go to. always has been, and I'm really, really proud of him, and he's here. He's arrived now.
Lynn, about you?
You know, I think when he pulled those rookie stripes off in Daytona, it made a difference in him. I won't call it more aggressive, but it's kind of. And it shows every week. You know, we've been fast everywhere we've been. We've had issues. You know, we were very close to a win at Texas, very close at Kansas. And it kind of dawned on me. I said, you know, we're not going to win a race where we, you know, it's expected that day. We'll win somewhere that we don't expect it. And it was here today.
Outstanding. We're going to open the floor for questions. We're going to start with Holly, and then we'll go to Zach.
Holly Kane, NASCAR.com. Ryan, you know, you have had other opportunities where you were out front or something, you know, came up. Did it help not having the communication back with the pits? Because I know of the radio issues. Were you
yes.
able? did that put you kind
Thanks,
of in
man.
Your in only your own head, so to speak? And did you drive any differently this time? Like, this is not going to happen again. I'm going to win this race.
Yeah. Thanks for that. I appreciate it. I was saying we should just unplug my microphone more so I'm not complaining as much throughout the race. But, you know, that was a, you know, one of the problems that we had. We had a loose wheel early and had to come back down and after that. And we didn't have track position after that. And there was such little cautions here that you couldn't drive your way back up there unless you were just lights out better than anybody else. So that's where they did a great job of putting us in a spot to where we're have a shot at the end. But, you know, the old hand on the door for was it tight, hand on the door?
Door's tight. Yep.
Door's tight. Roof was loose and thumb up, thumb down, if it was good or not, or key the mic. Because they could hear the mic key. They just
There's
couldn't
a lot of
hear
Morse
me.
Code.
Yeah. But, yeah, you know, it might have, yeah, I could say it maybe put you in your own head a little bit more if you're not, you know, you're not talking as much. And, no, I would still key the radio and I actually forgot the radio was broken after the last pit stop. I was trying to talk, and they were like, "Yeah, we still can't hear you." It's not. I completely forgot it was still broken. But yeah, it's definitely something I've never had happen before. But luckily, I could hear them, and we were able to work something out. I didn't really drive any differently than I would have before. You just try not to make mistakes, you know, one little mistake, and he was going to get by us pretty easy, and you try to hit your marks like you do all day. And I think what really was able to hold him off is I started downshifting in the tunnel turn, and he was doing that when laps got on our tires, and I was able to, you know, keep us RPMs up and get runs off that corner. So that, I thought that was the game changer that brought us to kind of even with him. Or at least closer to them. But I didn't really drive anything different. You just try the best you can to focus and do what you do all day, which is hit your marks and try not to make mistakes.
We'll go next to Zach and then to Lee.
Zach Sternealer from the Pocono Record. I want to talk first about this weekend. I have two questions for you. But this weekend I know was special for you, especially seeing Bubba make his first start here, getting the picture before this race. Take me through, and also being able to hold off champions like Harvick and Kyle Busch there. How special was this victory for you personally?
Yeah, we need Bubba in the Cup Series more. With one start he makes, I win the M race. He needs to keep running. But that was cool to have him. I don't know where he finished. I know they had problems on pit road or something like that. But you know, I was behind him a little bit, and he seemed to be doing a really great job. But I know that was special for him. But, you know, to me, obviously your first win's special, and to do it with the Wood Brothers and at a place where I vividly remember coming and watching my dad race here so much is really special as well. And this is a hard racetrack. This is one of the toughest racetracks we go to of playing with where to shift, how to shift, what your car needs. It's three completely different corners. And I felt like we were super strong through one in the tunnel and struggled in three, and you're going to have that. And, you know, it's just really neat to be able to get these guys their 99th win, and hopefully we can go for 100 here.
We'll go to Lee, then to
All right. That was Brian Blaney. And his comments post-race after winning at Pocono Raceway this weekend in the Cup Series. I thought it was kind of cute that he wants Bubba to be in more Cup races since this was the first time Bubba Wallace raced in the NASCAR Cup Series. And Ryan Blaney finally comes home with his victory. And to do it, you know, with some veteran drivers. I mean, how exciting would that be to say, I got around Kyle Busch. I was able to hold off Kevin Harvick, two veteran drivers of that Cup Series that are winners and very talented. And for Ryan Blaney to finally come home with that victory and beating both of them is really huge for him. Now, just to go through the rundown here again, we had Ryan Blaney as the winner, Kevin Harvick second. A great finish for Eric Jones. Very proud of him. He's a rookie contender in the Cup Series, and that was a fantastic finish for him. Kurt Busch came in fourth, Brad Keselowski fifth. To round out the top five here, or the top ten, positions six through ten, Martin Truex Jr., Kyle Larson, Chase Elliott, Kyle Busch, and Matt Kenseth round out that top 10 of drivers in the Camping World Truck Series. Now, Daniel Suarez has the lead in the Rookie of the Year standings here. He is 157 points, followed by Eric Jones at 149 points. So there's 8 points difference there. Behind Jones is Ty Dillon at 135 points. So those are your top three in the Sunoco Rookie of the Year standings. Daniel Suarez seems to have a commanding lead right now, but I'll tell you what, if Eric Jones continues to keep improving the way he did here at Pocono this weekend, I think we have a lot to look forward to with back and forth over that Sunoco Rookie of the Year standings. Daniel Suarez, by the way, finished 15th in that race, with Ty Dillon finishing 18th. So that was a big gain for Eric Jones this weekend at Pocono. And again, like I said earlier, I almost have to readjust my thinking about Pocono Raceway because I've always thought of it as a veterans track, very difficult for rookies. And we see that changing right before our eyes with the victory from Ryan Blaney and with Eric Jones having such a great finish in that race. So thanks for listening here as we played the post-race audio. Coming up here in a few minutes, we're going to have Riley Herbst on the show. Riley's been on our show before. He raced with Bill McAnally Racing for a year or two in the K&N West Series. And he raced with the likes of Todd Gilliland and Chris Eggleston, who we talked about earlier on the show. Chris Eggleston was actually in our winner's circle at 8:40 tonight. And it's really great to see Riley Herbst, who's racing full-time in the Camping World Truck Series. I'm sorry, full-time in the ARCA Racing Series this season, come home with that victory. He has just six starts in the ARCA Racing Series and already has his first victory. It was also the first victory for Joe Gibbs Racing coming into that series. So that was kind of a big deal. And it was certainly a big deal for Riley Herbst. A lot of people said it was rather early because he only had six starts and already has his first victory. But for Riley Herbst, he said it was a long time coming. So with that, I now have Riley Herbst on the line with us, and we're going to go ahead and get started with this interview. But I got to tell you, Sal Segala is not here right now, Riley, but he will be coming soon. So just to give you a heads up there. But first of all, congratulations on getting your first ARCA victory out there at Pocono Raceway. I've been saying this is a veterans track, Riley, and here you come as the rookie and take that win on Saturday night. Congratulations to you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me. That track is super tricky. They call it the Tricky Triangle for a reason. But it was a lot of fun, I'll tell you that much.
I bet it was. I bet it was. And especially for you to come in there as a rookie and take that victory. Now, talk a little bit about why you felt that this was a long time coming, because a lot of people were a little surprised by that statement, because this is only your sixth start, Riley.
Well, yeah, it was a pretty quick win for this new team and with JGR and the ARCA team, but it was a long time coming for me. I feel like I should have had some pretty big wins last year in the K&N series, and they just didn't fall away. So it was pretty exciting for me to win it at such a historic track at Pocono. So I just felt like it was a long time coming. It's the first of many victories, I believe.
I believe so too, Riley. You did a really great job. Now you had Chris Lambert, Denny Hamlin's spotter, working with you at that track. Talk about his support and how that helped you throughout the race.
Oh yeah, Chris is probably the best spotter, one of the best spotters I ever had. His knowledge, I think that makes him the reason why he's the best spotter, is because he's so knowledgeable and he's spots in the Cup, Monster Energy Cup Series, so he just knows what's going on, and he just keeps telling me what to do, where to go, and what not to do, and stuff like that. So it's very helps, makes my job a lot easier.
It certainly does, and you proved it on in this race. Now you broke a record as well, Riley. Scott Riggs set a record back in 2004. Of completing that race in 1 hour, 25 minutes, and 29 seconds. But you broke that record this weekend. You were able to finish the race in 1 hour, 19 minutes, and 55 seconds. Were you aware that you were on track for breaking that record during the race, or is that something you found out about afterwards?
Yeah, I found out about that record on the way to the airport after the race, which is a pretty cool record to break, because that just shows you how fast of a car we had and the pace of the race that we put on there, an hour and 19 minutes, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, now Sal is with us. I know he's anxious to talk with you, Riley. He's pretty excited about your victory as well. So with that, I'm going to hand it over to Sal.
Damn, dude. What an awesome race, Brad. I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, you kind of messed up my introduction a little bit, but we'll go back to it.
I am so sorry. Go back and do
it's
it again.
Right. Okay. Take two. Bad for racing, Riley Herbst on the show. Riley, congrats on the win. I'll tell you, you talk about a very, very impressive, a very dominating, and just an awesome piece of work, awesome piece of racing. It was just, I'll tell you, I've seen you, out of everybody, I've probably seen you race the most. And that was, boy, you really put on a clinic the last 40 to 45 laps of that race.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun, as I was saying earlier. That's not one track I thought, I would hope the win would come there, but not one track that I thought it would come out, just because how difficult that track is and how, if you get caught sleeping on the wheel, it'll definitely bite you. But it was fun for us to put on a show like that and put it in victory lane.
To see Joe Gibbs Racing go to victory lane in ARCA with the young rookie driver, his first year out there, we kind of go back, to the Orangeville days, not Orangeville days, but just the Canon West Series days. And, I mean, you came so close to winning a few races. And then to finally win it on the big stage, when you're coming to the checkered flag, what was the first thing going through your mind?
How much hard work and dedication that everybody on the team and my family has put into this to my racing career and stuff like that. That's why the first words out of my mouth was a long time coming in victory lane, because to me it has been a long time coming. I've been so close last year in the West Series, and for it to finally pay off in the ARCA series at one of the biggest stages in Pocono was pretty cool.
So what was it like to have your dad and your grandpa? You're looking at the TV in Victory Lane, and there's three generations of Herbst. They're not only three generations, but the three generations of Herbst that have won, you know, some of the biggest races, you know, in the divisions that they raced in.
Yeah, it's super cool. I was happy to have my grandfather there and my dad there, all three generation of Herbst winners. So it was neat for them to be able to see my first ARCA win on a big stage like that.
So let me ask you this. Before the race, did you have your traditional chicken fingers and french fries?
No, I did not. I had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Oh, okay.
There was no chicken fingers I could find.
Oh, okay.
No lobster kind of for effect. You yet, huh?
Oh,
no.
Jared, every race, Bill would make some really – they bring some really good food. I mean, good food. And where was Riley at? At the snack bar by chicken fingers. Every single race, he would eat chicken fingers before the race. I'm going to turn it back over to Jared.
Riley?
Oh, yeah. Only the best.
Okay. Well, Riley, again, we're really excited for you. Talk about who was your crew chief? Did you had crew chief at this race? Who was your crew chief?
His name is Shannon Rushk. He last year he crew chief Justin Haley on the 5 K&N East to the championship.
Okay, so talk a little bit about your relationship there. It's obviously gelling for you with the finish that you had at Pocono, but talk about a little bit about how you got there.
Yeah, it was super neat. We're getting along great, and I feel like we're just going hand in hand each race as we get better. That's why it was a big surprise for a lot of people that we won Pocono, but it wasn't a surprise, really a surprise to him or me, because this is what we're supposed to do, and we're here to win races, and hopefully we can win some championships as well.
Okay, now next up for you is going to be Michigan International Speedway this Friday, June the 16th. Coverage is going to be on Fox Sports 1 at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And, of course, ARCA Racing will have the live timing and scoring. How are you feeling about going into Michigan this weekend? And are there any other tracks on the schedule that you kind of got circled that you're really looking forward to racing?
Yeah, I feel the same way as I went into Pocono last week. I've never been there before, but we're going to bring a fast enough energy drink Toyota Camry Hot Rod, and we're going to try to put it in victory lane. But as a track that we're looking forward to this year, I feel like Sal could back me up on this one. It would be Iowa Speedway. We had a really good run there last year in the West car, and I feel like we could just get a couple more spots closer, and I feel like we could put it in victory lane again in Iowa.
Absolutely. And what's really good, Riley, is you've got such a great team supporting you in your ARCA Racing campaign here with Joe Gibbs Racing. You may not have the experience at these tracks, but they certainly do. So you've got to have confidence there in that.
Well, it gives me, the driver, a lot more confidence going into tracks like Pocono and Michigan, because I know that my team has won there before, and they know what they're doing. They're not rookies like me, and so they're there each step of the way to help me out.
I think so too, and we know you've got the talent to go with the team, and I'm looking forward to seeing what happens out there at Michigan Speedway this weekend for you. Sal, I'm gonna hit it back to you in case you've got anything more you want to talk to Riley about.
Yeah, you know, actually, there's a few questions. Actually, Riley, what I want to do is I wanted to go back to the end of last season, and then, of course, you know, what transpired and what was the – well, where did the decision come in to race in the ARCA Series and not maybe try a truck or even maybe do one more season in the Cannon West Series?
Well, for the reason for the truck deal is that – me and my dad have felt is that you can only move on in racing if you're dominating at the stage that you are at. And I don't feel like we had the most dominating season last year in the West Series. So we decided to go ARCA Racing on the East Coast to try to find a little bit more competition and see what we could do out East and take it one race by a time.
You know, and actually when we talked to a lot of the Canada West drivers, Canada East drivers, and even to a lot of the drivers that that spend most of their time in super lakes, they always talk about making a stop to the ARCA series for the reason of you get a variety of tracks. You get the big tracks, you get the small tracks, the intermediate tracks, the short tracks, plus you get a road course. But one of the main things is the pit stop experience.
Yeah, I feel like ARCA has the best tracks on the circuit for young and up-and-coming drivers because they take you to Michigan's and Poconos, where as if you make it in your career, that's where you'll be racing on Saturdays and Sundays. So that's really cool. And then you also get to do the live pit stops, which is the only series that does that, and so you get to practice and you just get to do a lot of things that other series don't have, like also racing on radial tires, like the Goodyears and the Cup Series. So it just gives you experience on different items that I don't have experience in.
And actually, looking back at the same timeline from last year to this season, you also added one more accolade to your resume, which was being chosen, to the NASCAR Next program.
Yeah, that's super cool. I was very honored to be a part of this class. I feel like it just gives me a little bit more recognition with my name out on the streets and out in the pits and stuff like that. That I get a little bit more credibility with my name, so that's super cool. But it also helps me in my career, just another stepping path I could put on my resume and stuff like that.
Well, I'll tell you, that win at Pocono alone is just that win alone at that track. You hear all the drivers, not only Cup drivers, but you hear all any driver that's ever raced or ARCA drivers, they Xfinity drivers, they talk about how tough it is, not only just to race it, but to actually win a race there. And for you to get there, your first time out there, being a rookie driver, brand new team, and just everything that went along with the whole weekend, that alone is really going to boost, Riley Herbst up there.
Yeah, I hope it does. But all in all, it was a great weekend. We led the most laps. We won at Pocono. Nothing that if you would have told me this last year, I would have thought you were a little crazy in the head. But everything happens for a reason, and we're on a path to success, and we're trying to chase a championship, and we're going to take it one race at a time.
Well, that right there is a really good attitude to take. And with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Sharon.
Okay, Riley. I just wanted to, again, give you the congratulations and make sure that I give you an opportunity in case there's any shout-outs that you want to make with regard. You've got some great sponsors on your car.
Yeah, we do. I'd like to thank NOS Energy Drink and UFC Gym for coming on board and supporting me this year. It's been a big help. So I would like to thank them. I definitely would not be in this position I am today without them. So thank you very much.
Okay, no problem. And also, just another question that popped into my head as we were talking there. You made the transition from the Can-Am Pro Series cars to now the ARCA Racing Series. I think they're running different tires. Talk about that adjustment for you. Has that been a kind of a tough adjustment to make? I know Sal's already talked about the pit stops, but what about the tires and the body of the car and all that? Has that been an adjustment for you?
Yeah, not as big as I thought it would be. The ARCA Racing Series races on a radial tire, which is different from the West Series and the East Series, which race on bias ply. It's kind of neat because you can treat it like you have a couple more lives on the regular tire, where if you abuse it, you can let it cool down a little bit and it will come back to you. Whereas on the bias ply, if you abuse it, that's all you got. So I like it a lot more than the bias ply, and it gives you experience for the later stages and racing, because the trucks and the Xfinity and the Cup Series all race on the radial tires.
Mm-hmm. So as Sal, to Sal's point, that gives you some really sound experience if you're thinking about moving up to Camping World Truck Series or the Xfinity Series. And I'm going to throw that one out there, too. You're racing with Joe Gibbs Racing. Are there any opportunities maybe on the horizon for you to race in Xfinity or trucks this season?
We'll see how it goes, but right now we're just taking it one race at a time. We got to stack up some more victories to put on my resume to hand in. But right now we're headed to Michigan this weekend, and we're going to try to go do the same thing we did last weekend.
Okay. And so you're off to a good start and kind of moving in that direction, if you will. And I know your focus for this season would be obviously contending in this ARCA Racing Series. And, again, I just want to remind everybody, Riley just said this, the Corrigan Oil 200 is at Michigan International Speedway this Friday, June the 16th. And you will be able to watch the television coverage on Fox Sports 1 at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, with live timing and scoring available at ARCARacing.com. And they usually have a chat room going on throughout the race as well. So once again, I'm going to give you my congratulations. Sal, was there anything more you wanted to say before we let Riley go?
Yeah, I just want to say the same thing. Congratulations to get on the win, Riley. I knew you could do it. I knew it wouldn't be too long. Good luck this season. And hopefully I'll be able to catch one of these. I'll be able to get up there and shoot one of your races this season.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you guys for having me on.
Absolutely. Before you go, let's hear your social media handles, because I'm sure you just gained a whole bunch of new fans that are going to want to follow you.
Yeah, everybody can follow me on Twitter at Riley Herbst, and Instagram Riley Herbst, and same thing on Facebook at Riley Herbst.
Okay, give Riley Herbst a follow. You won't regret it. And we've got a lot to look forward to. Riley, I told Chris this earlier. I'm going to tell you this now. I don't think this is the last time we're going to talk to you this season. I'm hoping we have you back on the show again here sometime soon.
Thank you. I hope so as well.
Okay. Take care now, and good luck out there at Michigan.
Thank you very much.
Okay, that was Riley Herbst with Joe Gibbs Racing, and I think he's becoming a very fantastic racer, and I know it was challenging last year, Sal, in the K&N West. He was up against some tough competition, and we couldn't really see Riley shine. But now that he's in the ARCA Racing Series, just six starts in, and he has his first ARCA victory, he's breaking records. Riley finally has his time in the sun here, and I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, it is, Sharon. And actually, going back to last season, he was tough. I mean, he was close to picking up a win. The competition out there was tough. It was stiff. He had some really good teammates behind him with Todd and Julia and Chris Eggleston. But, sometimes a driver gets into another series, a different kind of car, different handling characteristics, like he spoke, and that's, and they adapt to it. And I knew since seeing him racing at Irwindale, in the late model program, running the trucks, and then, making the transition to the K&N West and then now to ARCA, it was just going to be a matter of time before he won. He really has his head in the game. He's focused, and it's in his blood. I mean, he's the third generation Herbst winner, and racing is in his blood.
Absolutely, and you asked a great question with that, because I'm sure his dad and granddad were all excited about this victory as well.
I've talked to his dad on numerous occasions last season, even at Irwindale, and his dad goes to all his races, and he's always excited just to see him out on the track and doing what he loves, and when he has a good finish, he's right there. But you know, he's real supportive of him. You know, I've talked to him about it, and his dad is really supportive of him. It's, and I've asked him, both of them, Troy and Ryan, I said, it's kind of funny that Ryan didn't take the, you know, the off-road, you know, route, you know, which is what his grandfather and his dad, you know, do. And Ryan said he wanted to be different, that he liked the asphalt. But I told him it would be neat, and I'm sure we might see it someday, if him and his dad maybe doing the Baja 500 or, you know, doing some kind of off-road race together. They have a really, really, really nice shop out here in Huntington Beach. Luckily, we work at Boeing right across the street, so when I work at Boeing, I get to see it. But it's a really nice state-of-the-art shop that they have there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is. Now, I want to kind of switch gears here just a little bit, Sal, because we just listened to the post-race audio from Ryan Blaney and his victory at Pocono. And it goes back to what I said earlier. It's like a head adjustment for me that all these rookies are winning at Pocono. The point standings, there's just one point right now between Martin Truex Jr. and Kyle Larson. Martin Truex, of course, has the two wins. Kyle Larson has one. But it's 584 to 583 between those two. Is Martin going to be able to hold on to that lead at Michigan? Or is Kyle Larson going to jump up in there into the lead on the series point standings in the Cup Series?
You know, Martin is just—he is really come on strong, and even listening to some of the commentary over the weekend and even after the race, he's finally getting the breaks that he needed. He's finally, you know, sure, you know, he's like Kyle was when the season first started with all the second place finishes. But you need those second place finishes in order to get to victory lane. But Martin is really showing a lot of poise, a true veteran of the sport, and I think we're going to see him carry this point standing. I'm thinking I'm close, probably all the way to the end of the season, unless Jimmy Johnson, you know, quits having, you know, so many mechanical issues. And but the way it looks, it's going to be Martin. It's going to be Martin and Kyle all the way to the end.
Yeah, it could be, at least to the end of the regular season, keeping in mind whoever is leading those points at the end of race number 26, they will get that extra 15 points going into the playoffs. Now, Jamie McMurray and Jimmy Johnson, it was just so bizarre to see them both have brake issues within seconds of each other at Pocono Raceway this weekend. I was happy to see that both of them were okay. I'm sure they're both sore today, but your thoughts about what happened there with the brakes?
You know, it's like anything. They put the cars together at the shop, they get out to the track, you know, they have their practice, they qualify, and then they race. You know, a part failure is just part of, you know, it's a part failure. You know, you really can't put in the car together. You really can't tell if something's gonna fail or not. You know, or to say, you know, if it was maybe one of the mechanics that worked on the car, you know, if it was his fault or whatever. But you know, it's, and a lot of time it's just stuff. You know, there's just things, you know, that follow. You know, they'll follow the team around for a while, you know, until they shake it off. But yeah, that was kind of bizarre that both him and Jamie had the brake issue at the same time, you know, during the race.
Yeah, that was really, really different. And then Dale Earnhardt Jr. too, what a year he's having. It's not going quite the way he would hope it would go for his final season in the Cup Series. He missed a shift again, and you know, it's just one more thing that he's had to deal with here. And again at Pocono.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. My personal opinion on that, I just don't think his head is in the game. I think he's just thinking, you know what, let's get this season over so I can, you know, so I can retire and you know, do something, you know. I just think that in his case that he announced a retirement, and I think he's ready to retire today. not by the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at his demeanor doesn't look, you know, like he's really having that much fun. You know, there's a lot to think about. I'm sure the concussions are still in the back of his mind. You know, I don't want to race hard because if I wreck and if I bang my head, that might be it. I might not wake up. I don't know what it is, but he just seems like he's not in the game.
Yeah, I had similar thoughts. It just makes me wonder if those concussions are having more of an impact than he would have expected. But it very well could be what you're talking about as well, that, you know, he got married. He's ready to move on with a different path in his life. I do think that we're going to see Dale Jr. Be a very big part of this sport as the future comes to us and he's not behind the wheel of the number 88 car. I think that he's still going to be a big voice within NASCAR as a team owner, and we're still going to see a lot of Dale Earnhardt Jr. in the sport of racing. But I think there could be some credibility to what you're saying that, you know, he's already mentally ready to move on. And I don't know that that's the case. I'm just saying that it just seems like that could be the case. With the season, the kind of season that he's having. So Michigan is a good track for Dale Earnhardt Jr., but it's a very fast track. It'll be, what do you think he's going to do this weekend at Michigan?
You know, he's so unpredictable right now, it's hard to say. I mean, to try to guesstimate, you know, what he's going to do this weekend, it's almost impossible because you don't know which Dale Earnhardt Jr. you're going to get this weekend. You know, social media blew up this past week and, you know, blaming, you know, Hendrick Motorsports, you know, how they need to get their act together. You know what, they had the brake failure with Jimmy. You know, they had the, you know, Dale Jr. wasn't supposedly adjusted right to the transmission. He took blame for it. But for his fans, that wasn't enough. They figured he was just covering up for what's going on with HMS. But, you know, you got to take him at his word because we don't know if we weren't in the car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep, you're right. But again, thanks, Sal, for your commentary here. I really appreciate it as we finish up our NASCAR weekend, or actually NASCAR and Race Talk review from the weekend of racing. Are there any other comments that you want to have from the weekend of racing that you want to add here, or tell us where you're going to be this weekend for racing?
Yeah, that was basically it. The end of the truck race was kind of bizarre too. I mean, they had a red flag. They had time to clean up the track and let them finish the race, you know. And you know, okay, let's just end it right now. And of course, that was another issue that NASCAR had right there is who really won the race. You know, Brad came on afterwards, and you know, he said, "Yeah," he goes, "Chris Bell won it." You know, I mean, he looked like he was just trying to stay politically correct, like he really didn't want to say how he felt because probably didn't want to get fined or take away points from his team. But I think NASCAR could have cleaned up that wreck and continued, you know, and let Briscoe and Bell, you know, battle it out and let them decide to finish instead of NASCAR deciding to finish.
Yeah. Well, it really was an interesting race. What I loved about that race, though, Sal, is that there weren't any of the Cup guys or Xfinity Series guys. This was all Camping World Truck Series guys out there on the track. And they put on a good show for us. And I know, you know, your point is very valid. You kind of wish it would have finished under different circumstances. But I'll tell you what, NASCAR's got a tough job, and I know they try to do the best they can here.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
Uh, uh,
And I'll tell you, Christopher Bell, he is one heck of a driver. That guy is just, you know, he is really turned into be a really good asphalt driver. He was good on dirt, and now he's proven it on asphalt too.
Absolutely, and doing quite well. So this was a great victory for him out at Texas Motor Speedway, and I think we have many more to look forward to. Are you going to be at the track this weekend, Sal, or are you taking it easy this weekend?
No, I think I'll be at Irwindale this weekend. Irwindale this weekend, and then next weekend we have Sonoma.
Yeah, that's going to be a big race, Sonoma Raceway. I love the road course racing and always look forward to it. So I wish you the best out there at Sonoma in a couple of weeks here. And have fun at Irwindale. Thanks for everything you do. I really appreciate it. And we will be back here next Monday night for Fan for Racing NASCAR and Race Talk. That'll be June the 19th. And we'll be reviewing the weekend of racing here with Sal Fagala starting at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We both work really hard to make sure we get the race winners on the show for you guys so that you can hear their comments after winning over the weekend. And we'll work hard this week to make sure that happens again. And then don't forget, we have our NASCAR weekend preview this Thursday night, June the 15th, and co-hosting with Jay MJ Huseman to give you everything you need to know heading into the weekend of racing with our previews. And again, that starts at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. So with that, Sal, any final parting comments you want to make, and we'll call it a wrap.
Nah, we'll call it a wrap. I'm ready to get. I need to get back into work.
Okay, let's call it a wrap. And thanks to all of our listeners for listening. We look forward to talking to you again on Thursday night and next Monday night. Take care and have a great week. Good night.
All right. Good night, everybody.